thank you so much. Thank you. Oh, praise God. You know, I remember, let's see, we were in the gymnasium, meeting in the gymnasium back in 2016. John called me one day, and he was in tears. He just got fired, they downsized, from a job that he had for 30 years. And, I mean, I could tell he was hurting inside. His mind was wondering what, and you know what? It's not good to repeat what the devil says to you when the devil says, what are you going to do now? And the first words out of my mouth, John, you just got a raise. And you know what? He got another job with a competitor, and he got a raise. It went up. But praise God. That is so, God's got a plan and a future. He's got a hope and a future that he's already planned for you. Praise God. When you get in agreement with what he said, you know, what was that? Grumble giving? Grumble thanks. Yeah. Do you remember, any of you remember the when I was back in 1973, we were playing in Texas. I was playing in a rock band. We were traveling through Texas at this point. And got to be friends with somebody. They really liked the band. And he had a ranch. And he said, you're not staying in that hotel. You're staying with us. And he had all kinds of rooms in this ranch. And it was just wonderful. But he had cattle and he had sheep and goats and things like that. And it was a very large ranch. And one day he said to me, hey, Tom, you want to come coyote hunting with us? And I said, no. I said, I couldn't shoot a dog, you know. He says, well, what happens is they're killing the lambs and they're killing the calves now. And we've got to thin them out. And otherwise, we won't have too much left for coming herds in the future. And so I could understand it, but I said, you know, I'll pass on that. I said, how does that work? How do you go coyote hunting anyhow? And he showed us this little thing that goes like this, and you squeeze it, and it goes. And it's like what it does. It produces the sound of a wounded rabbit, and it attracts the coyotes, and they come. Like this, and makes it real simple. And the coyotes don't have to die of starvation or sickness or anything like that, just gone. And the herds are preserved. But here's the thing. When you are grumbling, when you are moaning, and you are voicing your hurts, your pains, your inner wounds, and all of these things, and they have done this to me. You're attracting the wrong spirits. You're attracting the wolves and the coyotes, and the wrong spirits are attracted to your moaning and complaining. And it goes further than that, because as you moan and complain and find somebody to dump on, what happens is you are hurting, you're wounding their faith. You're diluting their faith. You're getting them distracted from what they're focused on. And so you know what you're doing? You're doing the work of the devil for him. All he can do is sit back and just be sipping on the blood of the saints or whatever he, you know, thrives in. He's doing a lot of that now. I mean, you saw all these people that are murdered in after Nigeria and so forth by the Muslims. They're just on a murderous rampage. Thousands and thousands of Christians have been killed. Churches have been burned and so forth. And, you know, when you mumble and complain and grumble and gripe, you're attracting the wrong spirits. And you know what? It's not hurting anybody else but you. Because your situation is just becoming worse. And those enemies will rule over you rather than you ruling over them. Just saying, that's the way it works. This is why Jesus tells us, say what I told you to say. let your words be seasoned with grace. Speak my word. You know, that's what the Roman centurion said. Speak the word only and my servant will be saved. It will be healed. Speak the word only. That's what we need to do. We need to speak the word only. Turn with me to Psalms 100. And I want us to look at verses 4 and 5. It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. See, thanksgiving and thankful, two thanks in one verse. He's getting to something here. Why? Verse 5, for the Lord is good. He's not bad. He's not the one that called you in to fire you. He's not the one that rained the snow on you. He's not the one that created the storm. He's the one who calms the storm. You know, people get their theology so screwed up. I remember young in the Lord, and God makes you sick. So God made people sick so he could show how powerful Jesus was. And Jesus said, why would he do that? Satan working against Satan? That doesn't match up. Why would God send a storm just to show how Jesus doesn't have to prove his power to you or me or anybody else. He is the Son of God. But even then, he didn't calm that storm like as the Son of God. He did it as an anointed man of God, anointed prophet, under the Abrahamic covenant as a prophet and teacher, and rose up in that anointing and destroyed it. He said, peace! Peace just ate up the confusion and the chaos of a storm. And the devil, have you ever really read and looked at the words? On that came a great storm of wind. That word great is the word mega. This was a hurricane style wind that came up. And it was, waves were so big it was sweeping into their boat. And they were gonna sink. And first thing out of their mouth, Lord, don't you care that we perish? He said, peace be still. Where's your faith? Ah, so he was saying that we could do that too. And you know, F.F. Bosworth, you know who he was? He wrote the book Christ the Healer. 9 different times crossing the Atlantic, he stood up and said the same thing, and those storms were calmed. 9 times. He had witnesses on it. He never wrote about that himself, but it was written about him by others. 9 times. So do you have the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had? I mean, there is only one Holy Spirit, right? Amen. You guys hear? You have the same Holy Spirit. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. And if that power dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. That doesn't mean your glorified body. It means your mortal body. You have to focus on the right things. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting. Listen to this. And his truth endures to all generations. Now we're talking about the harvests this month. We're talking about the harvest is now. We're talking about the difference. An enemy did this. Know the difference between God's provision and the enemy there to steal that provision. There's a lot of things against your harvest, and there's so many, too many Christians who are folk, you know, it's almost as if they've become totally blind and totally ignorant to God's provision and the operations and the principles of the kingdom of God. And they're totally satisfied and consoled and content with the system of this world. You can either say amen or you can say, oh me, it's true. Because you get complacent when you start focusing on the things of this world, and that will make me happy if I had this job or this opportunity. So if you're led by jobs, opportunities, if you're led by money, if you're led by need, if you're led by all these other things, if you're led by lack, if you're led by the opinions of others or what they might say, if you're led by anything like, you're not being led by the Spirit. Let that just sink down into your ears for a minute. They are the sons of God who are led by the Spirit of God. Now, if you're not led by, I'm not saying, the Bible does not say that if you're not led by the Spirit that you're not saved. It doesn't say that. The verse right before it says, in fact, let's go to Romans 8. Sometimes we have to take a detour when the Lord says, go here. Be led. Look at verse, let's see. Nine, verse 8 here, chapter 8. Okay. If the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised Christ from the dead shall quicken, that means make alive, your mortal bodies, that means minister to you the life of the Spirit, by the Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, but if you live after the flesh, you die. If you live through the Spirit, you do mortify the deeds of the body. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, if we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, that means everything that he did was an example for us to do. We can focus where he says to focus. We do not have to settle for the world's provisions or the world's strength or what the world calls good. What the world is calling good now is evil. In fact, Dave, when Dave was ministering in tongues this morning, God gave me an interpretation. And I'll give it to you now. And it concerns the left-wing media. Because now it's getting to a point where it is costing people their lives. And there's a lot, the body count is really adding up right now on the doormat of the left-wing media, of the Biden administration, and everything that has done, that have let the gates down and let all these criminals in, let all of these radical Muslims in, and so forth. We don't have to put up with that. We live in this country, and if they want to live in this country, they abide by the laws of this country. If they don't, then leave. We're not going to be taken over by that. So here's the interpretation that the Lord gave me. It says, the left-wing media, the false narratives, the deception, and the lies have come to a stop. It has collapsed under its own weight. The lies and deception has overtaken them who propagate it. And that weed and that seed is all growing up and becoming their snares. And he said, you see it as a powerful organization, that they're the ones in charge. No, they're the ones that have been now exposed and people see it. Just like, this is what the Lord said. He said, just like I made a show of Satan openly when I was resurrected from the dead, the show openly, they are his disciples. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. God doesn't want that. He wants them to repent. The left-wing media and the lies and the narratives and the snares and the deceptions and all of that are tightening around their ankles, tightening around their hands. It is putting a bind on their mouth. They, every time they open up their mouth, they're being exposed for what they are. He said, that's why they're so powerless. That's why nobody wants to watch them anymore. Anyhow, that was the interpretation of God. And I saw it just go like this. It's like a building that just turned into powder. We don't have to do that. Praise God. All right, let me get to my message here. His truth endures to all generations. What is truth? Truth? Turn to John 17, verse 17 once. We're going to end the questions. We're going to stop the questions, and we're going to give you one of the best answers of what truth is. Remember Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? Well, John chapter 17, verse 17, from the lips of Jesus, talking to the Father, he said, sanctify them, set them apart through thy truth. Thy word is truth. If you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Sanctify them through it. Thy word is truth, and his truth endures to all generations. What is truth? Genesis to Revelation. All of the Gospels, the Gospels, all of the letters of Paul, all the letter of James, the letter letters of Peter, and the letters of John, the Revelation of John, all of these, that's all the word of God. And you know what else is? The book of Acts. And the book of Acts and every truth that's revealed in the book of Acts was the foundation for the church. And all that truth, all those gifts, all of those empowerments to the church, the gifts and callings, are all enduring to all generations. Yeah! Somebody said, well, we have the perfect will of God right here. We don't need the Spirit anymore. Are you kidding me? It's a Spirit that reveals this to you. This is a code book, brother. And if you don't have the Spirit that wrote the code, you'll never get the code. And, but here, if you do have the Spirit of God and you spend and you put your nose in this book and Jesus, guess what happens? Truth will be revealed to you. The spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God to know what you've been called to know the hope of your calling, it says, to know the riches of the glory of his inheritance and how to access it and how to take those things and put them into play in your life like he wants you to. He died for those to give you. And for the exceeding greatness of his power that's always coming usward, it says in Ephesians chapter 1, always coming to us. It's always coming to us. But if we focused on the world and prospering in this world and the things of this world and all of this world has to offer, you take your mind off of the Word of God and it'll just steamroll right past you. God is not going to chase you. He said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. All who come to me. You know, the Spirit says come and the Son says come. Come. Come to him. And he will not turn away from anybody who comes to him. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what mess you got yourself into. The power of God has come so that you can get yourself out of that mess by turning one thing around, the things that you speak. Turn your grumbles into prayers. Season it with grace and fill it with faith. And what you say will come to pass. I can be thankful for that. I don't know about you, but I'm getting off on this today. Why don't we turn to Luke chapter 17 here? Talking about the operations of the kingdom of God, the principles of the kingdom of God. In Luke 17, verse 20, he said, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees, you know, the Pharisees demand. They were filled with pride. Pride demands. And Jesus was humble and gracious enough to answer them. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. In other words, you're not going to see this. You move in it, it'll manifest. That's what he's saying here. The kingdom of God comes not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. The entire kingdom of God is within you. Access to everything that the kingdom of God holds, everything that Jesus bought for us, which is what? The entire kingdom of God. Has he left anything out? Has his blood fallen short on any of these provisions? No. So let's talk a minute. What are, and here's the undertowing. If you have a revelation of the kingdom of God, do you know what it produces in you? It produces in you gratitude, real gratitude, heartfelt gratitude, because that's where it comes from. It's a heart thing. You can say, oh, well, I'll try to be more grateful. I'll say thank you more. Mm-mm. No, it's a heart issue. It comes from the heart. It stems forth from understanding who God is and understanding his heart, his nature, who he is. He is love. He has joy. He has peace. You know, the world is looking for peace. There's one guy who's trying to solve it and bring peace to all nations right now, and they're all fighting him. But the guy before him put the world at war, and they were all praising him. That shows you where things are at in the world. They're calling evil good and good for evil. So, but we're in the kingdom. Gratitude, thankfulness, and praise. GTP. You know, when I was a kid, a Pontiac GTO was this. But this is GTP. Gratitude, thanksgiving, and praise. I mean, if you just scan through the Bible and just kind of leaf through it, you will see gratitude, thanksgiving, and praise, or at least it demonstrated for us and illustrated for in the pages of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It's all in there. In fact, if the written words of gratitude, thanks and thanksgiving and praise and rejoicing, if they just leaked out a little bit of water, each one of them, your Bible would be dripping wet. It would be drenched. It would be waterlogged. And it's all through the Bible. Gratitude. Why is he getting to that? Is it because God is so insecure that he's a glutton for attention or praise or acknowledgement? Uh-uh. He is complete in himself. He needs nothing. There's no praise or nothing you can give him that would enhance him in one iota in any way, shape, form, or fashion. There is nothing you can do to improve his life or his attitude, or his love. He is complete. He is totally complete. He needs nothing. What happens is when we are grateful, when we are thankful, and when we offer him praise, and when we rejoice in the things of God, it creates our focus and puts us back on the Word of God instead of getting all tangled up in the lies and deceit of this world. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. If you want the things of the Father, focus on his word, because it's all in there. His word, put his word in your mouth. And you know what happens? Because when you speak his word is seed. Jesus said so. Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13, his word is seed. And seed will grow up and become because it reproduces after its own kind. And if you're speaking victory, if you're speaking triumph, if you're speaking grace, if you're speaking his word into every situation of your life, it will grow up and become greater than the problem. Amen. It will dissolve at your problem and it will just take over. You know, the devil throws weeds to try to distract us and get us off balance and get us off of our game. But then comes along life. And it's like, you ever walk in a dark room and you turn on a light? What happened to the darkness? What happened to the weeds? they don't have any grip anymore because the light drove them away. The Word is life. He said, Jesus is the Word. And he said, I am the light of the world. If any man follows me, he won't walk in darkness, but he'll have the light of life. Yes. Yeah. You want life to hit your life? You want his kind of life to hit your life? If you want the God kind of power and victory and light in your life, start speaking it. He gave you his word. Why? So you can put it in your heart and speak it with your mouth. Move the mountains, unpluck the trees, whatever you got to do. That mountain of fear that you that has been knocking at your door. That mulberry tree that's trying to get his roots into your ground. You had the power to pluck all that up by the root and cast it into the sea. It's good because it's God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Be grateful. Focus on the word when you have planted your seed and you don't see the harvest. Keep speaking. Keep your ground fertile with the word of God. Keep speaking what God says about it. He said, if I give, it shall be given unto me. He said the tithe, you know, Dwight hit on it, the tithe is already God's. You can't give something to somebody that belongs to him. It's you tithe your tithe, right? It already belongs to him. And that's why he said, look, if you don't give it to him, you're stealing. And thou shalt not steal, thou shalt tithe. But even then, do you think the lights will go out in heaven if you don't tithe? It's for your advantage. Why? Because it releases angels. It releases, and they're the reapers, it says in Matthew 13. The angels are the reapers, Jesus said. He said, the good seed, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The wheat are the children of God, the children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the devil. The angels are the reapers. And when you start speaking to your ground, you're releasing angels to come in and keep that stuff fertile and to bring in and to make sure that your harvest is going to come into you. You know, there is a ministry of angels it talks about in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation? That's you. That's me. That's us. We are heirs of salvation. But you don't have to wait till you get to heaven to enjoy the fruits of it here. He brought the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and he put it right inside of you. You have the kingdom, its operations, all of its principles alive, ready to be used by you and me and us together. We can come into agreement. We can come into unity. We have these things together as the body of Christ, and we can do that. All we need to do is start turning this around and stop grumbling. That was good teaching, by the way. Everybody else was off the subject. You brought them right back in. That's what we got to do. Corral the guys. Say, hey, guys, don't attract the coyotes. don't start grumbling and complaining and voicing all your hurt and all your pain and all your inner wounds. And all you're doing is perpetuating. You're giving an eternal status to those problems. Pray for a crop failure from your words. Pray that they will fall dead. Pray that they will just dry up and go away. And start speaking God's word. And see, when you're grateful for the harvest, what happens is you're focusing on what matters to the harvest. And the promises of God will start to be activated concerning your promise, concerning your harvest, and you shall reap 30, 60, and 100 fold. How many of you were here last week when I talked about that? You know, I heard just this week, too, I think it was Friday, wasn't it? Friday morning, Andrew Womack was on TV. He said this, you know something? He said, we have no idea about the multiplication process of the kingdom of heaven, that what God instituted for us. He said, if you take a seed and you put it on a checkerboard on one of the squares and you double it and go 2, then 4, then 8, then 60, and you do that all the way across up to 8 times. Then by the time you get to the 64th square, you will have enough seeds on that square to cover the entire nation of India 2 feet deep. It's like 5 quintillion or 6 quintillion. Double, double, double. It's a multiplication process that the world doesn't know anything about. Yeah, 10 times 10 is 100, but tenfold of 1 is astronomical. 30-fold is over a million or something. So even when you're halfway through the checkerboard, it won't even hold on your little computer, on your telephone. On your cell phone, you have a little calculator, right? It won't hold 100-fold return. It won't even hold 64-fold. It won't even do that. That is what the devil is after. That's why he sends the weeds. That's why he tries to get you focused on other things, the cares of this life, lust of other things, and the deceitfulness of the riches of this world. Get to chase after this and chase after that and chase after the things that really are going to perish with this world. But he who does the will of God, the word of God, will stand forever. Amen. The end. Praise God. This is real. I mean, I'm not talking about theory here. This is not theory. This is not philosophy. This is the word of God. This is spiritual law. And it cannot not happen. It cannot fail. Amen. God will see to it because he watches over his word to fulfill it, to perform it, to execute it, to make sure it happens. It's his word. He's responsible for it. If we do it, he's responsible for it. Stop grumbling. Start forgiving. Start loving. Start showing mercy and kindness. Start exercising patience and long-suffering. That was a wonderful skit, Sam. Thank you for that, guys. And Kim and Caitlin, great job. And everybody, all of you did so good. It was really good. And Dwight, Professor, I'll just tell you this. Dwight has an anointing for teaching. He is a teacher. He is a teacher of the Word of God. And praise him. And it's... Thank you, thank you, thank you, Dwight. And who did I miss there? There was John Lafcidas with the shades, man. That's cool shades. Yes. I'm going to get fired. He could step into that role because he knows what it's like. Right? Mm-hmm. But he knows how to get a raise too. Yeah. Just come into agreement with a guy who has some kind of thing on the word and start speaking that only. Praise God. Don't speak the problem. Don't speak your wounds or hurts, your disappointments, your woes. They betrayed me. Well, that's their problem. Yeah. Does that affect... Yeah, right. Praise God. Did you hear that? They betrayed me. Well, they betrayed Jesus. So you're in good company. Mm. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the abundance of revelation and the songs of heaven that are being released into the earth right now. Lord, that the prayers of the saints, incense to you, breathe in, that you breathe in and exhale. And the golden censers are filled with the prayers of the saints thrown back into the earth, giving angels assignments, giving your Holy Spirit free course to invade our lives with light, power, strength, healing, deliverance, and vision and hope. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.